for the House Committee, and ultimately it was their decision to go ahead and leave the contempt provisions in there. I would say that they are not critical to our support of the bill. We support the bill in general, but the contempt thing is not a critical portion. It is very rarely used. Judge Ellis's name is the one that comes up most frequently in discussions about the use of contempt, and he said, and I talked to him just the other day about it again, there is some question about, this has never gone up in a case yet, but about the court's ability through other statutes to use contempt power despite what this statute says. And it's Judge Ellis's opinion that he has the ability under other statutory provisions that generally provide for the courts enforcing their orders to use contempt power in any case, but that's never been tested, so.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Counsel.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I just wanted to note for the committee that in the typical case, a defendant is sentenced to pay these fees and assessments as a condition of probation, and the court can, as an alternative to what's proposed here in the contempt power, say, I'm going to have a probation violation hearing, and if your failure to pay has been willful and without good cause, I'm going to hold you in violation of your probation and either sentence you or impose further sanction. So the court does have existing power to deal with a willful failure to pay.
Well, that's the question I was going to ask, is what this does on top of the powers of the court in a probation proceeding anyway. I guess it codifies it, doesn't it?
Well, Mr. Chair, it is probation is another option, and it is more generally used that probation can be imposed, and at least during the period of probation, the court has the ability to revoke probation for nonpayment. I didn't address, and I can if you want, but won't if you don't want me to, the other provision that eliminated that 25.
Yes, I wish you would comment on that, please.
Okay. To tell you the truth, I do not know who suggested it. It wasn't the Judicial Department's suggestion to do that. Who? Anyway, I don't remember whose it is, but the point of that amendment, as I understand the committee's intent, is that if you really nail somebody for contempt, it is not because they have an inability to pay. It is because they have an ability, but they have willfully refused to pay. And so I think the attitude of the committee was that if they have the ability but are refusing to pay, so you put them in jail because of the contempt of their refusal to pay despite their ability, that they ought not be working it off at $25 a day. The result of having them work it off means that perhaps a victim is not being repaid the restitution that was imposed on them, where the defendant does under that condition have the ability to have paid it. It could be a fine also, but depending on what obligation, who it's owed to.
Well, couldn't that also have the tendency to restrict the means by which the person could make the support payment, for example, if you didn't give these people a $25 a day credit, then they would owe 25 bucks for that, and that would be a debt out there that would, at least on the books, would detract from whatever they owed to the former wife for child support.
Mr. Chair, it's no additional payment. It just means they can't work off the payment.
Right. I understand it's no additional payment, but if they go to jail and they owe $100, to use a completely hypothetical example, they are getting credit at $100 a day for being in jail, and you take that away, so they get out of jail now. They still owe the $100.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Counsel.
Ms. Zuckerman, if I could ask you on that question about the credit, if a person is picked up on a show cause contempt and does 5 days in jail, finally makes it to hearing, and the judge finds no willful failure to pay. As printed with the amendment deleted that credit, then the defendant would not get the credit for those days in jail, even though the contempt was held to be not willful, or there was no contempt order.
Mr. Chair and Council, it's my understanding that the $25 here, I'd have to read it again maybe more carefully, but I think that the $25 that you would be working off would be if you were actually jailed for contempt. If they were brought in, as I understand what happens is, if a person doesn't pay, at least this is Judge Ellis's practice, then he will issue a show cause, come to court and either pay or show cause why you shouldn't be held in contempt and ordered to jail. And then the person fails to appear, at which point a warrant is issued, and then they come in and end up in jail because they didn't appear on the show cause either. And then if they do spend that time in jail, I don't believe that that goes toward the credit anyway. I think that the $25 credit under the statute is just for the time that they are in jail for contempt.
I'm not really sure. I think that's
That may be so, but I think the statute on line 6 and 7, page 2, is unclear. It says for each day of imprisonment at the rate specified in the commitment order, and you could read that for each day of imprisonment, which means before and after hearing, or only for each day of imprisonment pursuant to the commitment order. I think it could be read either way. In my own experience, on line 6 and 7.
Right, but on line 5 it says a person committed for non-payment of a fine, and they wouldn't have been committed for non-payment at that point, I don't think, in the sense that I think they're talking about in for contempt for non-payment, I believe.
Well, my own experience is that the court just takes a look at how many days the person's done in jail by the time they get into the hearing and says, look, you've done 7 days, you've had a $100 fine, that's it. I'm cutting the fine. Whether it's done pursuant to this section or not, I don't know, but I know that's common practice.
Mr. Chair and Counsel, that may be. I'm not aware of the practice.
Well, I guess I'm a little confused on this thing here. It's not exactly giving a person credit at $25 a day for going to jail. It just says that the order of commitment is based on the rate of 1 day commitment for every $25 owed. So if you owe $100 in court costs, you can get stuck in. The court could stick you in jail for 4 days. That's not really the same as giving you credit.
Mr. Chair, and members of the committee, there are two sections here. Lines 1 and 2 of page 2 specify how long you can be kept in jail. Lines 5, 6, and 7 specify what the credit is going to be, if any, and it's going to be credit as determined by the court in the commitment order. So it could be more or less than $25.
Yes. Somebody that owed $200 in costs, you get stashed away for quite a long time, huh? Didn't pay him.
Yeah.
So we just have to keep our eyes peeled for it then.
Why don't you sit down and see if you can work out some differences and come back? I really don't know if we want to spend a lot of time trying to resolve this. I don't think we do right now. Unless some committee member's got an idea you want to run by. See if we can come to some conclusion on this. All right, why don't you?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, I'm also concerned, Mr. Chair, recognizing the lateness of the session, if in fact, you know, the issue was addressed in the House side and this was the decision.
Mr. Chair.
It's on how important it
is. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I would just say that the $25, I mean, I don't know that it's a difference that we particularly have with anybody. If that wasn't our amendment, and the department, I don't think, is committed one way or another on that amendment as part of the bill. There are other aspects of the bill that were in our original bill that we feel more strongly about, including those other than contempt, if that was a hang-up for the committee.
Well, apparently you didn't disagree terribly strongly with the other part of the amendment either, did you?
With?
Right, maybe you haven't had a chance to look at the amendment.
Well, the two parts of the amendment, one was the preservation of the credit, and one would the contempt.
The power of contempt, which I think.
The dash two.
The dash two amendment would delete the power of contempt, which.
Deletes the contempt power altogether?
No, excuse me, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, Ms. Eckerman, the dash two amendment preserves current law. What it does is delete the expansion of the contempt power to fees and assessments.
So I understand you don't have any strong objection to that amendment, or that part of that amendment?
That's correct.
Okay, that's fine. That part was taken care of now. I think, just to get something on the table here and see if we got four votes for it, I would move the dash two amendment to the extent that it would delete the expansion of the contempt power. That would leave the $25 thing alone. Somebody wants to take that out or doesn't want to take the first part out and just send the bill out the way it is by, let me, trying to find out if they're. Anything four of us can agree on at this point. Linda, yes?
I noticed one other thing. I'm sorry, in these amendments, and I don't know if it was intentional or not, to have deleted all of 137-450, which is section one of the printed bill. Because that's the one that says that a judgment for all of the types of monetary obligations may just be enforced as a civil judgment.
Well, certainly the intent is not to delete 137-450. What lines 5, 6, and 7 are deleted, which would preserve current law, which holds that payments of fines, costs, and disbursements may be enforced as a judgment in civil action. So the effect of that is to leave the existing law of 137-450 unchanged.
Does not, though, permit us, it doesn't provide the statutory provision for enforcement of fees and assessments and restitution as judgments in a civil action.
That's the effect of the amendment. That's correct. Well, this may have been my mistake in working with legislative counsel on that. I know when we had discussed it, the intention was the expansion of the contempt power and the preservation of the credit.
This is yet something different. This came to the other intent, another portion of the bill as it comes to us, right?
It does.
Mr. Chair, we feel that the printed bill, section one, is, we don't have any problems with that. It is, once more, the, from what we can tell, satisfies the intent of the Department of in the judicial department to have the uniformity, and it doesn't really.
So your request is only speaks to the
to the
draft as in section two, the dash two, section two amendments.
Correct.
Chair, members of the committee, this may have been just miscommunication between me and legislative counsel when I said that it's to preserve current law except for the contempt and the credit issue. It may have gone one step beyond that. That could be remedied on the dash two amendments by preserving section one. Well, it'd be preserving section one in the bill and striking that portion of dash two that would delete section one.
Yeah. I don't think. Sense of my amendment out here understandable now, or?
Are you then moving section two and?
I am.
What's the effect of your amendment? What are we moving? I mean, I guess I want to know from Mark and what the chairman's motion is with respect to dash two amendments. What are we moving of the dash two amendments to accomplish what the chairman?
Maybe I should leave out dash two amendments and go to the original bill. That might be easier.
I think if I could be of some assistance, I think the intent was on the two issues that we've been talking about mostly. It is to preserve the existing statutory credit, which is contained on page 2 of the bill, lines 6 and 7, and to also preserve but not expand the contempt power, and that's contained within section 3 of the bill, beginning on line 15.
That means nothing to me, Mr. Chairman. I need to know what you're going to do in order to preserve that. What are you deleting and what are you adding in order to preserve that?
With respect to the credit language, the House amendments to House Bill 2179 would be deleted. In other words, the current law would be preserved.
Well, I would leave that alone. I would leave that part alone. Unless everybody agrees, I would say that the House said that the House removed this $25 credit. The House amendment did. I'd say leave that alone.
I agree.
The House bill says we are going to expand contempt powers to failure to pay fees and assessments, and I would delete that. I would say no, we won't expand the contempt power to include non-payment of fees.
All right, I understand that. But direct me to the bill and tell me what you're going to move or what you're going to delete in order to accomplish that.
And if
it hasn't been done in 7, and maybe it's been done in dash 2, and if it is, let's refer to dash 2.
I'm not sure.
Well, what dash 2 does is to delete lines 4 to 32, so it does that, plus it does a lot more. If it's the desire of the committee just to not expand the contempt power, what we need to do is look to the words fees, fee, assessment, costs, and disbursements as contained within section 3. Now, we would then delete those words fee, assessment, costs, and disbursements where it's contained in section 3. That's the statutory contempt power.
Okay.
And that would also be true in sections, in section 3, right. And section 3 is made up of 5, 6 subsections. So I guess the way council says, so that, I guess that would be my motion then, to delete the words fee, assessment, or costs and disbursements where it appears on line 16, 26, 28, and 32 of page 1, and 2, 3, 5, 8, 11, and 13, 15, and 18. It appears a lot of places. But to eliminate it, wherever it appears in section 3 of the bill. Would that do it, Council?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, with one small exception, on page 2, line 13, current law includes costs in that provision. So I think the intent of the chair's amendment would be affected if where the words fee, assessment, costs, and disbursements are in boldface, which is amended language in section 3, it's the intent of the committee to delete those.
Yet, Mr. Chair, the other side of the coin is, if I heard the witnesses correctly, this is currently being done by some individuals on the bench. So
apparently, Judge Ellis thinks that he already has the power.
Mm-hmm.
To do that.
And so the rationale for this particular section is only to add consistency, correct, throughout the state?
Mr. Chair and Senator Hamby, it would be consistency in the ability to apply contempt powers in the statute here. Judge Ellis believes there are other provisions of contempt that would allow him to do it, although it's never had a case go up on it. And he also says that he's never, in his memory, actually convicted a person of contempt for nonpayment, because when they come in on show cause, in fact, they usually end up paying. So it's never really gotten even that far, as I understand.
Yeah, I'm open to any suggestions. That's mine. Leave it alone the way it is. It's fine.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just soon take it the way the House sent it over.
Okay. The find out if we, have we got four votes for my amendment?
That would be a no vote.
No vote.
No, I'd vote for your amendment as long as we're clear that we're not expanding it beyond, you know, what you're...
And I, you know, I don't care. I don't have any strong feeling. I'm just trying to get some consensus here. That, so if there are more votes for Senator Brenneman's idea to leave it alone and send it out than mine, why, we can do that.
I already said I'd support your amendment. As long as I'm, you know, I think I know what it means.
All right, with you, Senator Hemby. I think Senator Brenneman would probably, you know, that's, you don't have any objection necessarily, just prefer leaving it alone, right?
Yes, I would prefer.
I don't care. Whatever you feel comfortable with.
I don't really care either, but I do like, I'm concerned about consistency. That's all.
Judge Ellis sometimes is considered inconsistent.
Well, Mr. Chairman, you got two votes for your amendment. You better ought to figure out who else you got.
Well,
you know, we can
three.
Make a vote and
I'll
see what you got.
We'll vote on it. Yeah.
I'll vote for your amendment. Yes.
Find a little fly guy there to see you. All right, call a roll on that amendment.
Brenneman.
No.
Brockman. Cohen.
Aye.
Hamby.
Aye.
Hill.
Aye.
Myers. Fry.
Aye. All right, now that carries. And is there anything else anybody wants to be ready to go? Concept, I think, is pretty clear. At least, and I see Frank Gruber back there, and everything's okay with you, Frank, is it?
Well, it's listing on the audio system.
We needed help.
Sure. Come on up. Yeah. Oh, well, oh, you mean come upstairs?
Just okay. To see what the changes
are. All right. That's what I'm asking. Is it clarity what the concept on this is now?
Actually, I'll have to talk with Mark because I was in training.
Well, Ms. Chair, members of the committee, Mr. Gruber, and for the members out here, as I understand the intent of the committee, it is to preserve and not expand the contempt power. And
to include non-payment of fees, assessments, costs, and disbursements.
The amendments do that plus more.
I know that in section one of the bill it does talk about restitution, and I noticed that not in the amendments, and the contempt power has to restitution reserve.
Senator Cohen.
I think, Frank, what we're saying is we have chosen not to amend section one, really. Isn't that the effect of what we're saying?
Yes, that's right. We're not changing.
We have chosen not to amend section one.
From the bill.
Yeah, right.
So with whatever you had drafted relating to section one, we've set aside.
That's exactly what the amendments do. It doesn't touch.
Sit down up here, Frank, so we can get this.
Better get a copy.
Well, I think if the committee members...
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm very comfortable with the committee's intent here. Mr. Gruber's question was related to the fact that under current law, contempt power does include restitution. And as I understand the committee, as we are not changing existing laws that relates to contempt, so if it expands to restitution now, it will do so after the committee's amendment.
And Frank, the what we're doing is in section three, we are eliminating the new language, fee, assessment, or costs and disbursements, wherever that appears.
All right, the amendments do that.
House amendments do that?
No, your amendments, your dash two amendments.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's what the direction was to do.
They do that and more, though, see.
The only thing more that they do assuming the word processing office followed the directions on the hand engrossed copy I gave them, the only other thing that it did was it took out consistently fee, assessment, costs, and disbursement. Now, is that what you don't want that taken out?
It does more, Mr. Huber.
And the only other thing that it does is it adds in "or ordered after sentenced."
It takes out Section 1 and it deletes, it preserves the credit.
We're talking about Section 3 right now.
Oh, that's...
Which is in your amendments, your dash 2 amendments, is the Section 2.
That's correct then. Right. Section 2 of the dash 2 amendments does that. That is, it preserves the existing contempt law and it does not expand existing contempt law.
So that part's okay.
I guess that's all we're doing. I suppose another way to state my motion is that I move the dash 2 amendments deleting lines 2 through 13 on page 1.
We could put it that way, too.
Another way to put it. I think we all understand.
Now, the only other question, if I may ask, Mr. Chairman, is in Section 2 of the bill, there was a reference in line 10 on page 1 to restitution. Now, that doesn't appear in the Section 3 of the bill. And I had indicated it deleting out that new reference to restitution to the word processors, and that's why basically you were back to the original law and not, you wouldn't have been amending 137.450. But if you want restitution referred to,
yeah,
I'll
yes,
put that.
We do.
Yes, Senator Coleman.
Mr. Chairman, yes, we do. I mean, we're not going, but the only place where we're going back to original law is really in Section 3, Frank. We're going to leave.
I guess, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Mr. Gruber, existing law as to contempt applies to restitution, and the committee's intent is not to change that.
Right.
I think we're all clear.
We're all clear on that. All right. Now.
Thank you, Mr. Gruber.
All right. Now, Senator Cohen moves House Bill 2179 as amended to the floor to pass. Question? Call the roll.
Sure. I know all about contempt.
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Now, on 2323? Okay. Council, on House Bill 2323, tell the committee.
Yes, we passed that out on Tuesday. It deals with recording documents and abstracts in real property matters. There were some technical glitches that needed fixing. The file on 2323 is on the bottom of your stack, I think, and it has a hand-engrossed copy of the pages of the bill showing the changes. They are all either to insert words that were missing or to make clarifications. There is no change in substance.
Do you want a motion to reconsider, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, I think we'll need that. Okay, Senator Cohen moves to reconsider the vote by which we passed out House Bill 2323. Any objection to the motion? All right, it's reconsidered.
Move the hand-engrossed amendments. A engrossed, is that right, Eric?
The hand-engrossed amendments to the A engrossed version, yes.
Right.
Senator Cohen moves the hand-engrossed amendments to the A engrossed version, House Bill 2323 to the floor, do pass. Any discussion?
I have to move them first and adopt them, I think, before we go do pass, Mr. Chairman.
You're moving the amendments right now?
Yep.
Yeah. Any objection to the amendments? All right, so ordered.
Now I'll move it. Do pass if you want.
Now, Senator Cohen moves House Bill A engrossed 2323 as amended to the floor. Do pass. Discussion. Call the roll on that, please.
Brennan.
Aye.
Brockman.
Cohen.
Aye.
Candy.
Aye.
Hill.
Aye.
Schweider.
Aye. All right, now let's go to House Bill 2734, and Council is going to explain how a simple bill having to do with parking tickets could cause as much grief as this thing has caused this session.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I'll give you a very short history. We started out the session with Senate Bill 746, and the intent of that bill was to give law enforcement the power to ticket cars that were in violation of county ordinances, basically to give the power that meter people have in cities right now. We did that. At the same time, this bill was moving through the House, and it did not conform to the procedures of 746. So we pulled it back to committee and redrafted the bill and put in those procedures. Then Representative Soa called to the committee's attention that in doing so, we made one other change that was unintended. Under current law, when you operate a vehicle in a designated restricted wildlife area, if the violation is pled with a culpable mental state, like knowing or recklessly or intentional, it will be a misdemeanor. If it's pled without that, it will be a violation. What the -3 amendments now do is to preserve that distinction. That was what